why should I have faith in God's plan for me? You know, a lot of times we say, you know, God's plan might be different than our plan. So why should I trust him? Mm-hmm. What's the reasoning like that I should trust him when I think my plans are pretty good for my life?
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to be focusing on today is why should I trust him? Why should I have faith in him? And I first wanted to start off with explaining what today's broadcast isn't. It's
right.
not saying that God's plan is this. There's a saying that, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. And people sometimes take that out of context that says that God wants us to go through things like sickness or poverty, stuff like that, just to teach us a lesson. That's not what today's broadcast is about at all, because we know what his word is on that. But for some things like that he might not have in his word, on like different steps to take, sometimes there's bias involved. I know that I've had bias that I hadn't even realized was bias that's been there.
Yeah.
And so there are moments whenever we have to come to the decision point, God, do I trust your plan or do I trust what I think would be good for my life?
Right.
And so I'm really excited to delve into this topic today.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good.
Yeah.
And so really it comes down to God has a perfect plan for our lives. But the question is, do we trust that?
Yeah.
Do we believe that? I know, like, just being honest myself, the Lord's been talking to me a lot about that this week.
Yeah.
About things that I'd thought were his plan for my life that were more my plan or more bias. And I was like, God, I thought that you wanted this for me. And I thought that this, I was doing what you wanted.
Yeah.
And so it's a great moment to get. It's a good thing to get to that moment.
Right.
But it comes to that decision point. Okay, God, do I trust you more that you're always leading me into triumph? Or do I trust the plans that I think I can see right now?
Yeah.
Because sometimes he doesn't share all of the plan, all of the time. Like, this is my whole plan for you for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
He'll show us the next step, and he'll show us the next step. And in those moments, he's building something so much bigger than what we could even had planned for us.
Yeah.
And so it really comes down to trusting his care, his character, his nature of love, that he loves us. Do we know his love for us? Do we trust his love for us? Do we trust that he's always leading us into triumph?
Right.
And you can even put that in the comments and say, 2 Corinthians 2:14, which is God is always leading us into triumph in Christ.
Yeah.
When we're in him, when we're in the anointing, we know he is always leading us into that triumph. And we can trust that.
Yeah.
We can trust that nature.
It's think about a like a symphony, and you're going to see the orchestra. Your ear is probably going to enjoy more hearing the violin and the cello and the flute and whatever else is in an orchestra at one time versus hearing just a violin at once. There's a resounding sound that comes when we're in God's plan. There's a like a perfect braiding together and knitting together. A lyric from a song I really enjoy is, a color doesn't know how brightly it shines in the tapestry. Like, the color itself can't see the whole tapestry, but if you're viewing the tapestry from the outside, then you can see how beautiful the artwork is and the framework is. But if we're so zoned and focused only what we think and what we want, then we're not going to be able to enjoy that beautiful sound of a symphony if we're only thinking it has to sound one certain way. Because, like, it goes right back to 2 Corinthians 2:14. He's always leading us to triumph.
Yeah.
He's always leading us to triumph. So I can trust him in that. Then, of course, there's plenty more promises that we're going to go into.
Yeah.
But knowing and trusting that he's leading me to triumph can help me see that, okay, maybe in this particular moment when I'm wanting to just hear the violin, God's over here saying, just trust me. Wait, wait. It's about to, the cello is about to come in and it's about to be beautiful. Just be patient and trust my plan.
That's good. Patience is a huge part of trusting his plan and being joyful in that patience too. That's really big.
Yeah.
As you were talking, what the Lord was bringing up to me was when we first moved here, and I think it was our first conversation that we had with Pastor Brian, and he talked about the Lord building the house versus us building the house, because when we came here, we had certain expectations from partly because of what we'd done in the past and how we'd done life, the most mature we'd ever been, and we're like, I think I know everything that's going on and like how to do ministry, but thank the Lord that we had a shepherd who knew so much more of the plan that God had for our lives. Right. And he had the wisdom to share with us that first conversation of, if you build a house, you might want it to be beautiful and have the white little picket fence, and you might have the foundation for that right now. Mm-hmm. However, you don't know the mansion that God wants to give you, the right. mansion that God wants to build you. We have Ephesians 3:20, and you yeah. can put that in the comments. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we can ask mm-hmm. or think,
right,
according to the power that works within us. So yeah. he wants to do beyond what we can think, mm-hmm. but there's a foundation that needs laid for that.
Right.
And sometimes that foundation laying process, like, we can't yeah. see things in the natural. God will give us some steps, like working on character.
Right.
That's a big thing. And that's so necessary in the foundation right. part of this
yep.
that we need in order to be able to hold all of these things abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think.
Yeah.
And so it requires patience. It requires us trusting God's plan when, okay, God, I just wanted like something that was a part of this like little 3-bedroom house here. Like, why yeah. can't I have that now? Or I wanted this, my life to look a certain way, to be married by a certain age or to have kids by a certain age.
Yeah.
And why isn't it working out right now? Or like how I envisioned it to be working out.
Yeah.
And so it comes down to, again, what we've said, the trusting his character, his promise, trusting that there's so much more going on behind the scenes of that symphony yep. like you were talking about.
Yeah.
And trusting that he has promises for us, trusting those promises. Mm-hmm. I think of Psalm, I think it's 84:11. It's become one of my favorite verses, where it says, no good thing mm-hmm. does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So if there comes a moment, and there mm-hmm. have been plenty of moments for me,
yeah.
whenever my will or my bias might look different from what the Lord's showing me to right. do, or showing me mm-hmm. through my pastors, or showing through wise counsel of mm-hmm. what needs to be done. And so in those moments where it seems like I don't know what God's doing, or his plan is different than my plan. Oh, hi, Pastor Zach. Good to see you. It really comes down. Okay, God has good promises. He has good plans, and he's not withholding from me.
Right.
He's not trying to withhold things from me mm-hmm. to be able to teach me a lesson, kind of like what we're talking mm-hmm. about at the beginning. He's not withholding healing. He's not withholding provision.
Right.
He's not withholding his good from us. He's mm-hmm. not withholding his peace from us. He wants to get those things to us even more than we want to experience
yeah.
them. And so those are promises that we can hold on to mm-hmm. in those kind of like a cross-section moment mm-hmm. whenever we have those moments of,
yeah.
do I want to follow God's will, or do yeah. I want to follow my will?
Right. And that goes into why, you know. Know, mm-hmm. Why should I have faith in God's yeah. plan? Why should I stick to something that might seem hard to my flesh? Why should I serve his plan when I think I have a good one?
Yeah.
And the why is because we're renewing our mind to the word. It goes back to what you were sharing when you guys first moved here. When Buddy and Serena first moved here, pastors were telling them what you just shared is mm-hmm. that there's a beauty in laying that foundation. And while you were saying mm-hmm. that, what came up to me was Romans 12 and verse 2. And it's talking about renewing your mind. Mm-hmm. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So why should I have faith in God's plan? Because his will and his plan for my life is good and acceptable
yeah.
and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to renew my mind to him. I'm
yes.
going to have to renew my mind to inheriting the promises through faith. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to renew my mind to not going into old habits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to renew my mind to the promises of God.
Yeah.
That takes a laying of a foundation. That takes sometimes even weeding out roots.
I was just thinking
getting
that.
Yep. Getting the ground set mm-hmm. because I don't know too much in the natural about building a house, but I'm pretty sure that it has to have a good, even ground foundation mm-hmm. before they can even start building the foundation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
getting all the old out of us and getting all that junk tilled out and weeded out and and letting the Lord renew us and refine us by the fire.
Yeah.
My why to have him refine me for his plan is because I love him. Mm-hmm. Why should I have faith in God's plan and in his promises is because we love him. Yeah. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart.
Yeah.
We trust in the Lord with all of our minds. I renew my mind because I trust him. I'm going to get out that old way of thinking because I trust him.
Yeah.
I want him to refine me and build my house because I trust him. Because sure, I mean, he's given all of us the ability to be dreamers, and that's good. We should dream. But just because I can imagine a beautiful mansion in a certain way doesn't mean that God isn't saying, that's really good, but I've got something even better. Like, mm-hmm. He loves us, so he's going to honor our desires of our heart. He's going to do that, but he'll honor the desires of our heart, but then put on a nice little pizzazz on top of it. And that's not even the correct wording for it, but it's so much better than what we could even imagine. Better than what we could even ask. His plans are to prosper us in every way. Who knows? The house I'm imagining, sure, I might think that it could have a cool, like, jacuzzi tub, like, nice in front of a window, something cool like that. But God's like, yes, but let me up you on that. Think about two jacuzzi tubs. You know, that's just God. He's so lavish and he's so abundant.
Yeah.
He's so perfect. He wants to bless us.
Yeah.
But if I'll settle for the one jacuzzi tub, he'll let me do that. He's not going to fight me by me sticking to my plan.
Yeah.
He's going to let me do it because he's given us free will.
Yeah.
He's going to let us do that, but he wants to do even more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why yielding to his plan for our lives is going to be a bigger testimony than the one jacuzzi tub.
Yeah. And renewing our mind, like in Romans 12, that is going to mean, like, I wanted to stay a little bit on what you were talking about. That's going to mean uprooting some of those biases and some of those plans.
Yep.
And so we can't expect to be renewed to him if it doesn't mean that we're going to have to change some of the ways that we're thinking about what our life is supposed to look like.
That's
and I
really
hadn't
good.
Seen that in that passage before, but I thought about the renewing the mind, like, okay, I need to renew how I think, like, not being fearful. But it means that God's going to ask us to think a different way about our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he does, our flesh is going to try to say it's a bad thing, but oh my goodness, he has those lavish plans.
Right.
He has those good plans. And when he's trying to ask us, he's asking us to lay down something that our flesh finds precious, you know? It's going to be for our good. It's going to be for that mansion. You know, if we try to hold on, and my flesh has tried to do this in the past, it's going to all be all in vain. You know, the verse, the laborers, he who labors, what was the verse I'm thinking about?
Yeah.
He who labors in, I know the verse.
Without love? Or?
No, those who labor. No. The laborers who labor in vain. When you're trying to build your own house, if you're trying to build it yourself, it's going to be all in vain.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. And how, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Thank you, Buddy Crabtree. I appreciate that. So it has to be the Lord who's building it.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Lord to be building it, we need to be yielded to him and yielded to his will.
Yep.
And so, just glass house in those moments, and I've had them even recently when the Lord's asked me to lay down a vision or lay down an expectation that I've had, my flesh has screamed about it. Like, it has been in the flesh one of the most opportunistic times, and there was such a fleshly reaction to it. And one thing that Buddy told me in that moment when I'm like, I don't even care. Like, I don't even, my flesh didn't even care. In that moment, are you choosing to abort the plans that God has for your life? Like, basically, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we're choosing, okay, I don't really care. Like, I'm going to do it in my flesh, how my flesh wants it. This is too hard. God, what you're asking for me is too big.
Mm-hmm.
But when our flesh is saying that, that's saying, God, I'm willing to abort the plans that you have for me.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I never want to get to that point. And that was a wake-up moment, and I cried. but you know.
And I cried.
Because I don't want that. I want to be pleasing with him. I want to be yielded to him. Well, we have to understand that those are the moments that, those are the key moments at that crossroad,
crossroad.
To yield to him in those moments, to know. But it's not just, God, yes, I'll be obedient. There's a trust. God, I trust you. I trust that you are bigger than I am. I trust that you are wiser than I am. Mm-hmm. I trust that you have what's best for me, for my life, that, you know, Jeremiah 29:11.
That's where I just turned to.
Yeah, you can go ahead and read that.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity." He has no plans for your calamity. "To give you a future and a hope." And we hear that scripture so many times. Like, that's one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's a beautiful scripture just as much as John 3:16 is. Just because it's well-known and well-repeated doesn't mean we don't need to put our eyes on it constantly. Yes. "For I know the plans I have for you." God Almighty, the creator of heaven and... Yep. Oh, sorry, I was looking at three. The creator of heaven, the creator of earth, he knows the plans he has for you.
Yeah.
He knows the plans he has for me. He knows all the plans. So if someone who created, I'm saying someone to make it more personable, because he is a someone, he's a person, he's Jesus, he's Holy Spirit. He knows what he has planned for you. Think about, say, Buddy and Serena, we'll use y'all as an example. Let's say Buddy has a great date night planned for y'all, and he's so excited about it. He's planned every detail, but he's told you, "I just want you to get ready and be ready at this time." Mm-hmm. And you could might say, like, "But like, what do you mean?" But I might, you might have some good ideas, some restaurants that you wanted to try out, some places you've wanted to go see, but you're yielding to Buddy's plan for that date night because you trust him and you love him and you know, whatever Buddy has planned, it's going to be good because I trust him.
Yeah.
He's got a great date night planned for us. And those things that you might have been desiring, who knows? You might even go there because you trust him and you've given your own desires to Buddy. You've said, "That's okay. I yield to you. Take whatever you want to do tonight. Let's go do that."
Yeah.
And that's God's design. He wants to lavish us to have a lavish life.
Yeah.
Lavish us to have a lavish life. That's his will. But if I'm fumbling and trying so hard to figure it out and put all the pieces in place, it's not going to be a flow.
Yeah.
Like, that date night wouldn't be as peaceful and relaxing and enjoyable if the whole time you're asking him, "Where are we going now? Where are we going now?"
That's true.
You're driving way too fast. Maybe you should slow down. Oh, don't hit the brakes. Like, that's, it's going to be a little irritating to both of you, but it's going to be great when you just, you're just yielding.
Yeah.
You're just saying, "Okay, I'm excited. Yeah. Let's go."
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that verse, what I was thinking about, the Israelites weren't in the ideal situation when that, when they received that verse. Like, they could have been very much out of rest, like what you were talking about with the date night.
Yeah.
But God still gave them that promise that they could have a good life and that life that abundantly beyond what we could ask for or think. He had that same will for them as well. And so even when things around us might not look in the natural, like abundantly beyond what we could ask or think, do we trust the Lord in those moments?
Right.
And that's what it really comes down to. Am I trusting what I'm seeing in the natural with my eyes? Or do I see, Pastor Ryan talks about the looking through the spiritual curtain to see what God's doing in the background. He's laying that foundation. He's doing a work in us.
Yeah.
And honestly, we have to be our first work. We have to be prepared to be able to receive the blessings from the Lord. Am I the person who's able to receive those blessings from us, God? If not, like, root out everything that would hinder me from receiving from you. We always need to be our first, the biggest work, our first work, always working on ourselves. And I also wanted to read what Tiffany wrote in the comments. "God, what do you want my life to look like?" It's such a good question. "Your ways are greater and your thoughts are higher. How can something I come up with even compare? Make my desires your desires. Make my dreams your dreams."
Amen.
And that's such a good heart.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is when we do that, when we seek first him and his kingdom, he's also going to plant desires in our hearts too, yeah. and then he's going to fulfill them. And so we can't outgive God. And when we give to him our desires, which is a sacrifice, when we give to him our lives and our whatever it is, he's going to pour back, and he's going to pour back peace as he's leading us. He's going to pour back the desires and the blessings as we yield to him and as we trust him.
I'm reminded of a cool testimony. It's because there are times when we're walking out of faith project that it seems like, where is it? Mm-hmm. There's going to be temptations where our flesh is going to want to say, hey, maybe we should go to this place. Hey, maybe we should go do this. Hey, maybe we should go do that. But yielding to God, yielding, I'm the clay, God. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Yeah. And there was a time when I was believing for something. I was believing for a new vehicle. And in this time of believing for a new vehicle, in the natural, I had the means to go and get something. It kind of is a lot like the testimony Pastor Brian shared yesterday about the chairs that they were believing for the church. Someone would call and say, hey, we have these chairs. God said, no, it's not time. It would happen a couple more times. They had, in the natural, the means to receive these chairs. Mm-hmm. But God was saying, no, now's not the time. Mm-hmm. Just because something looks right, just because something might, the provision might be there in a certain way, God can say, no, now's not the time. Just because something comes up and it looks great, man, this seems like God. But if there's that pause in your spirit, you listen to it, because there's something better up ahead. Trust the peace from the Lord that there's something better up ahead. But I was believing for this vehicle, and I would thank God for it. I had people believing with me for it. And there were things that I specifically wanted for it, right? Like, I wanted heated seats. I wanted a sunroof. I wanted tan leather interior. And I wanted it to have low mileage. These are things that I was talking to the Lord about, asking the Lord about, saying, okay, I trust that you're going to do this. But if I would have, there was a temptation right before, really very close before I received the promise. There was a vehicle that had tan leather interior. It had heated seats. It had a sunroof, and it had low miles. And it fit the budget of what I had in the natural to purchase it. It looked great. It looked like God. There were even times in my prayer closet with the Lord that I thought he was highlighting this car to me. I was this close to making the wrong decision. This close. God's so faithful. But I had a little check. There was just a little pause on it. I just don't think this is right. Like, it seems like it could be God, but I just don't think it's right. Kind of like trying to wash your feet with socks on in the bathtub. It's just not, something about it's not right. So in yielding to God's plan for my life, the perfect provision came in. Tan leather interior, sunroof, heated seats, low mileage. Better than what I could have even asked for. A color that I wouldn't have even thought to purchase, but it has blessed me so much. Without it, and all the natural money that I had to buy the car that I thought I wanted, I was able to keep. And this is how God operates. This is how God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you bigger than you could even ask, bigger than you could even imagine. What I have now is better than what I could have even asked for. I was imagining some things. I was in my prayer time with the Lord, imagining some things, asking for some things, thinking, oh, this is great, God. And he said, you just wait. I've got something even better for you. You yielding to God's plan for our life means that something better is coming. God, I trust your plan for my life. Why do I have faith in your plan? Because you're good. Because you're good. It goes to the scripture, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, his own son, but delivered him over for all of us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? How will he not freely give us peace, freely give us joy, freely give us all things that we're asking for? He gave, sometimes we see Jesus as he was a person, he came in the flesh, but it was his spirit. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit, because when we die, our spirits are separated from our body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He gave up his spirit. He yielded who he was. He yielded his life to God. And what if God gave up that offering, How will he not provide for us? How will he not give us freely all things it says here in the scripture?
Yeah. And he did that just because he loves us. Just because he, that could have been enough. Yeah. Just, okay, I sacrificed and now you get to spend eternity with me. But he didn't stop there. You know, he gave, he's like, okay, I gave my son, which is the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. How will I not give you all things now?
Yep.
It's just his lavish love. Lavish. And what would hold us back from wanting to do our plans is a fear. It all comes down to a fear that God can't take care of us.
Right.
That God isn't as smart as us. Like, in saying that, I'm like, of course God's smarter than us. But it's a fear that he's not going to take care of us.
Right.
And Pastor shared on the broadcast earlier this week about dealing with all fear. And that's one of the fears that we can put faith in that God, not put faith in the fear, but faith in that God has wiped that away. And if you need to go back to that broadcast again with this type of fear in mind and God took care of this and he wiped it all away and I don't have to deal with this type of fear anymore, absolutely go back to that one that Pastor Brian shared on Monday, and that can be dealt with right away. Just like God dealt with all of the other fears, we don't have to be afraid that God's not going to take care of us. All cares, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. He cares for us. We're his children. Parents, as parents, how much do you want to give your children what they need to succeed? And will a cookies and ice cream every meal help them succeed in the long run? No. Do they want that for every meal? Probably. But as a parent looking down and saying, okay, you need nutrition, you need your fruits and your vegetables and your protein and all of that stuff, you're giving them what they need until they're able to mature too. And sometimes we're in those maturing processes when we don't realize that ice cream and cookies isn't the best thing for me right now, even though I can't imagine life without it.
Right.
You know, it's just because he cares for us and he's going to give us the desires of our heart as we're maturing in him too. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to identifying the fear, learn to recognize the emotion of fear quickly, and then trust in his love for us.
Yeah.
He loves us. He's not withholding any good thing. He didn't withhold his son from us. And he has good plans for us. We went through, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 in that. We went through Romans 8:32 in that. We went through Psalm 84:11 in that. If you need to go back and write those verses down, go over them, meditate on them. No good. Thank you, God. No good thing are you withholding from those who walk uprightly. Thank you, God, that your plans for me are always good. They're not to harm me. They're to prosper me. Thank you, God. If you didn't even withhold your son from me, how will you not give us all things? These are the promises that we have whenever we come to those moments of, do I trust God's plan or do I trust my plan? Right. And know that he is leading us into triumph.
Yeah. Yeah. In Proverbs 3:5-6. Says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
That's where it is.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So trusting in him, it's key. And that if we're fearing, then we're not trusting him.
Yeah.
We're not, because fear will come in a way to distract you into thinking that the promise isn't coming. Things in the natural, they might appear to be one way. They might try to deceive you into thinking that the promise isn't manifesting. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is that substance. Faith is what's going to propel you into trusting the Lord with all of your heart. How are you saved? You're saved by faith. You believe that you are forgiven. You believe that Jesus gave his life for you to live eternally. So that same faith, because there's not like saving faith and then there's health faith and then there's prosperity faith. It's just faith. It's just faith. Faith in the word. Faith in who he says I am. I don't put faith in my feelings. My feelings will lie to me. I mean, earlier today, there's things in the natural I'm believing for. If I allow my feelings to dictate my faith on the situation, then that would not be good. I have to put my faith in the word of God. What does the word say? The word says he will make my path straight. So the word says he'll make my path straight. So why? Going back to the why. Why would I trust God's plan? Because he says he'll make my path straight. All my plan ever does is get me frazzled in not good places. Mm-hmm. My plan leads me to crooked paths.
Yeah.
My plan leads me to not good places. Mm-hmm. Every time, I can say this absolutely, every time I've trusted in God, he's given me a clear, straight path.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. There truly has never been a time I've trusted in him and it hasn't gone well.
Yeah.
The times that I don't trust him, the times that I look at myself, the times I look at my plans and what I think I need, God, I know you might have this, but I think I need this. That's mm-hmm. how the flesh wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
Me, 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 me. But when we put down that and look at how good he is, you're Jehovah Jireh. That same heart that you just had a couple minutes ago, mm-hmm. you are Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
You are my provider.
Mm-hmm.
You are my defender. I trust you, God. With food and shelter, with these I'll be content.
Yes.
With food and covering, God, with those I'll be content.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, you're so big and so good. How will you not add to me all things? How will you not give me a blessed life? And the peace of God is there. You just grab it with your faith.
Yeah.
Peace. We are in peace by faith.
Mm-hmm.
We abide in him by faith.
Yeah.
I choose to be with him by faith. What if I go in my prayer time and I'm just waiting waiting for Jesus to show up? Jesus, you showed up to Kenneth Hagin. Show up to me. Mm-hmm. If you don't show up to me, then I'm not going to believe you. No, we can't have that heart with God. We can't put out fleeces. God, if you think that I should become a billionaire, please send me a yellow bird. What? That's natural.
Yeah.
God doesn't want us to operate in the natural.
Yeah.
He wants us to operate by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God. The Word of God.
Yes.
I will rebuke the devourer. I will make your path straight. I have saved you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a fleece to show me that I'm righteous through Christ. I need his Word, and by faith, I believe it.
We get that Word in us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What you were sharing on contentment was actually sticking out to me as well in 1 Timothy, where it says, God, and it, I think it's around where you were talking about, with food and shelter, these I will be content.
Yeah.
But it also talks about godliness with contentment is a means of great gain.
Right.
So it's not just godliness of us, okay, God, I'm going to be good. I'm going to do all the right things and I'm going to be that person. It includes thankfulness and contentment in that. And that's one thing that has been coming up. Yeah, it's been coming up a lot here in Boomerang Church, where Pastor Ryan has been preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's the pastor. But in his preaching, has been that thanksgiving and how that's a key. That is the golden ticket. And so being in contentment is so huge. Putting on that thanksgiving on purpose is such a key to be able to walk in those promises of God's plan. Because we might know them, but if we're like, well, where is this mansion that you're talking about? Like, I'm doing all the right things. I'm checking all the boxes. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that. And I've been in that place where, like, God, I'm just serving you. Where is it? That's not going to be the attitude that I'm going to be able to reap his harvest from and be able to reap his promises.
Right.
It has to be the contentment, the thanksgiving. God, thank you for what you've shown me. Thank you for the work that you're doing in me. Thank you for your promises.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, that I get to walk in them. Thank you, Father, for what you've given me now, for your testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
All of these testimonies, recount them. That's what's going to help us to stay in that receiving mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been plenty of times where I've been like, yes, I'm like content. And then I see receiving. Like, I see myself receiving. And then I'll be like, no, why aren't things happening? And like, God's mercy, I might receive some things, but it's not really consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm on a high spot now. Like, and then I'll receive things because, you know, I'm walking in the Lord's plan, you know, and I'm walking in how his, I don't want to say his formula, but in thanksgiving is how he's able to open up Right. His blessings to us, but then it'll be up and down. But as we learn how to just consistently walk in that thanksgiving, it's going to be more of an open heaven. And Pastor Brian and Pastor Nicole have both shared that as they learned to continually get more consistent, then they were able to see more of the blessings continue to flow. It became more of a flow at that time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this up and down. Like, there was a flow a few months ago, but now I don't know what's going on. But as we're maturing, we're going to be able to continue in that flow more and
more.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm reminded of Abraham and Isaac. I mean, Abraham was the father of faith. He came and said, "You are the father of faith. Mm-hmm. Many nations will come from you." And the Lord dealt with him with his Isaac. Yeah. You know, I mean, you kind of hear that a lot, but it is true. Yeah. Because until we can get to a place of contentment in our heart, I found that when I get off of contentment, when I get off of Thanksgiving, like you were just sharing, that's when the flow stops.
Yes.
But when I deal with the Isaacs in my heart, mm-hmm. when I deal with things that I think that God's called me to do, when I deal with that at the altar, when I deal with that in my prayer time, when I let the fire of God burn it up, if it stays, it's Him. And if it stays and it's Him and you haven't seen it yet, that means it's on the way. That means you've got to receive, "Lord, I give this to you." I'm reminded of when I was praying about being on the worship team. Ever since I was little, I had this dream that I was supposed to sing. I had a really big fear of singing in front of people. I was like, "Lord, how am I gonna sing in front of people? I don't know how," but I had this dream and this desire. So one, I had to crucify the fear of singing in front of people. But then two, I had to crucify the dream of being on the worship team. That rhymes. The dream team. I had to crucify that dream, truly. Because until God could get me in a place of humility, until God could get me in a place of thankfulness over it, He couldn't have me there. He is the perfect tapestry weaver. He knows where to have people. He knows what gifts people have, where they'll better suit the body. He knows all of that, but He has to have your whole heart. So I remember there were months before that I was praying, "God," like every time at the altar, "God, I give you this dream. I give you this dream." Yeah. And then I'd walk away from the altar and I'd pick it back up. Mm. I'd walk away from the altar and I'd pick it back up. This went on for months. God had to weed out the old, weed out that pride that was there, weed out those dreams I thought I had, how I thought it should work. And I promise you, legit, about a month after, I actually crucified it in my heart. I remember the peace that came into my spirit after I really, truly crucified it. That's when I got the, I guess, phone call. We'll just say phone call for the story. Mm-hmm. That's when it all fell into place. When I said, "God, truly, okay, I yield this to you. Genuinely, if this actually never happens, I'm at peace. If you never add this mansion to me, I'll be at peace. Mm. If you never give me that husband or that wife, I'll be at peace. If you never make me a billionaire, I'll be at peace, God. If you never give me that faith project I've been believing for, I'll be at peace, God. Yeah. Because you're enough for me. You're enough. Jesus was stripped bare and his God was enough. God turned from him and he still said, "You're enough. I believe. Here's my spirit. Take me, God." Yeah. He still believed. We've got to crucify what we think our life should look like. And when we crucify what we think our life should look like, day in and day out, "Not my will, but yours, God. Not my will, but yours, God." That's someone that he can show himself strong on. That's someone that he can show, "I'm a good God. I'm a good God."
Amen.
He's so good.
Yeah. And as we even pray at the end of this broadcast, it doesn't have to be a scary prayer. As we say, "God, expose these things in me that have held me back. And I give you these things, my dreams that may have just been mine and that I may not have trusted you with." It doesn't have to be a scary thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be something hard. It can be, "God, I surrender this to you." And there is that peace as we surrender that to him. And we believe, we expect that as you agree with us, we'll lead in the prayer and you can repeat after us. And that we expect that there's going to be a peace that fills you as you give up and surrender whatever may have been holding you back from being able to walk in God's perfect plan for you. And not just for you, for us as well. We're expecting that too as we're praying this in faith. So was there anything else you wanted to add before that? So we're going to pray. We're going to agree together. Yeah. And we're expecting to hear testimonies. Make sure to message us when you hear these, get these testimonies of God's will happening in your life as we've surrendered what may have tried to hold us back and tried to make us small. So we're going to agree in prayer right now.
Yeah.
So Father, and we can just pray this together. Father.
Yeah, Father.
I surrender.
I surrender.
All of my plan.
All of my plan.
To you.
To you.
I thank you.
I thank you. Thank you.
That you are always.
That you are always.
Leading me into triumph.
Leading me into triumph.
I trust you.
I trust you.
I trust your plans.
I trust your plans.
I trust that your plans are good.
I trust that your plans are good.
And Father.
And Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your fire.
For your fire.
That is burning up.
That is burning up.
Everything that's not from you.
Everything that's not from you.
Have your way in me.
Have your way in me.
And Lord, I thank you for every viewer. Lord, I thank you for the power that is in that is working in each one of them. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in them, for the new life, for the new peace that is going in each person as they're renewing. Not my will, but yours be done, because your will is so much better than anything I can even think or imagine. So, Father, I thank you for your power being done in each person's lives, whether they're watching now or in the future. We commit our works to you, and we know that you are building our house now in Jesus' name. Thank you for that. Lord, we just put on your thanksgiving.
Thank you,
we
God.
Put on contentment. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. Thank you, God, for your good plans. Thank you. You are withholding no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Thank you, God, that you have not even withheld Jesus from us. How will you not also give us all things? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's such a sweet peace ever since we started the word. There's been such a sweet peace, such a sweet flow.
Amen.
And that's where God wants us to live in.
Mm-hmm.
That's his desire.
Yeah.
It's his will.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, we hope you all received too. Put some hands up or some fire in the comments. We want to be able to thank the Lord for you. And we always want to give an opportunity for if anybody wants to sow a seed. It's never required. We sow this for free because we want people to be able to receive God's goodness, but we never want to be able to rob the blessing from someone who wants to be able to sow into fertile soil.
Yeah.
And so we have the opportunity, our website, givewww.org. Yeah. Cash App, Venmo. We have PayPal, Text to Give, cryptocurrency. It's all on the screen so that you can see that. But we know that there's also a blessing for those who sow seed, and we want you to be able to receive a harvest off of that. So we're going to bless the seed that y'all are sowing, and we expect a harvest on that too, if you'd like to.
And what was coming up to me is unconventional ways of sowing too.
Yeah.
Like, say that maybe you don't have in the natural a seed to sow monetarily, but you, if you have time, if you have resources, there's other ways that you can sow into this vision.
Yeah.
So just wanted to add that as well. But thank you, Lord, for every person that's sowing today. Thank you, God, for an abundant harvest of peace, an abundant harvest of your perfect plan in their lives, the grace to say yes to you, the grace to abide in you, the grace to be in joy, knowing that you are always leading them to triumph.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, for all things being added unto them now. Let it be pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus.